This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, commenting on his most recent publication in The Atlantic magazine, Cold War Catastrophes the U.S. Can Avoid This Time, avoiding the decision to move from containment to rollback to domino theory of the second half of the 20th century. We're now said to be in a new Cold War or in a new Cold War with a hot war. What is to be done? Anatole, if I read the headlines correctly, there are voices in Europe, in Paris and Berlin and in Rome, looking for a settlement in some fashion, an armistice in some fashion, a ceasefire in some fashion, and an accommodation with the security needs of Moscow, and at the same time, the damage done to the economies of Western Europe. Are those voices strong enough to contain the U.S. if it enters into another period of defense building and paranoia?
Well, we'll have to see. I mean, the problem is that in Europe, there are also very, very strong voices in Britain, I'm sorry to say, in Poland, Baltic states, which are calling for total Russian defeat in Ukraine and an American strategy, a Western strategy based on bringing about regime change in Russia. Now, so far, the Biden administration seems to be trying to walk a fine line between those positions, because, of course, amongst other, it's aware of the dangers of escalation with Russia, you know, and the risk of nuclear brinkmanship. And, you know, if you go in for nuclear brinkmanship, the risk is you'll fall off the brink, right? But, of course, the Biden administration also does not want to split the Western alliance. So the Biden administration is giving, you know, enhanced military aid to Ukraine, but is stopping short of calling for total Russian defeat. The problem is, though, that the Biden administration has not accompanied its massive aid to Ukraine with a peace plan or a negotiating strategy. Essentially, this so far, this aid has been unconditional. And so the risk is that it will end up strengthening Ukrainian hardliners who do want to go all out for total victory, you know, unless the United States comes up with a political strategy and goal of its own, which, by the way, it has a total right to do, not just because of the amount of aid we're giving to Ukraine, but also because the very great risks, partly economic, for America and the world, but also, of course, in the end, you know, there is the risk of nuclear war. So America is running huge risks for Ukraine. That gives America the right to a say in any political settlement.
The strong voices, the strong hawkish voices in Europe, the loudest is Poland. You mentioned the Baltic states. There is talk in Moscow that Poland will take a piece of Ukraine or all of Ukraine in the event the government falls. Is this a pathway to another conflict like we had in the first Cold War, a perpetual frontier, armed frontier? We have about a minute.
I don't think, I mean, today or in the foreseeable future, Poland will do that, because that would completely, you know, exclude Poland from the Western alliance as well. It would isolate Poland. But of course, I mean, there are things that the Poles and Balts can do that would be terribly dangerous. The Poles can send, you know, large numbers of armed Polish volunteers, Polish soldiers to Ukraine. The Balts can close Russian communications to the Russian exclave of Kaliningrad and basically challenge the Russians to do something about that. That would bring us to the most dangerous moment in the world since the Cuban Missile Crisis 60 years ago.
Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, writing at The Atlantic magazine, a history of the second half of the 20th century. National Security Council Document 68 by Paul Nitze and his colleagues. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.